Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
That kid is back on the escalator again.
Pain don't hurt.
Is my boomstick.
Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the Bargain Bin. He's your host, Ben Mason.
He is your co-host, Sandra Luketic. And today we're talking 1996's Jingle All the Way. You can't really spoil this movie. It's a paint-by-numbers plot. So what I'm going to have to ask you is, since this is your pick, why Jingle All the Way?
Why not Jingle All the Way?
We'll get into that.
It's almost Christmas.
Yes.
And you made me do Biodome.
Okay. Fair enough. I get you now. I completely forgot about that. That makes perfect sense.
How did you forget? It was so recent.
I brought this on myself. Okay. What are your earliest memories about this movie? How did you discover it?
Arnold. And
Same.
As is well documented on our show, before all of my DVDs were stolen out of storage, my Arnold DVD collection was up to like 22, 23-ish or something like that.
That's insane.
I didn't have all of them. So this is just, you know, this is the Christmas one, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, wow, you had many more Arnold movies than I do, and I have so many movies. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I had a whole bunch that at the time of purchasing them, I didn't know they existed. Like, I had Raw Deal.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, but I didn't know it was a movie until I started collecting them. And I went into the store and I'm like, well, here's one. And I think there was one called like Red Heat.
Yeah, with Jim Belushi.
Which was not good.
What are you talking about? That movie is fantastic.
Was it Red Heat or Raw Deal that was not good?
Raw Deal is a weird one. He's an undercover cop going into the mob. Red Heat, he's a Russian police officer who follows a criminal to America, where he teams up with American, like, Chicago cop James Belushi.
Okay, it was Raw Deal. I remember one of the two, and I don't remember which one had, like, none of the Arnold one-liners that made him popular in the 80s.
Raw Deal.
And I was just watching it and I'm like, all right, do the thing, and it never happened.
No, you should go back and revisit that, though. It's not a bad movie. It's just
not what you expect.
Yeah, it's not an Arnold film.
Yeah, well, what are you gonna do?
It should be a Dolph Lundgren film.
Oh, everything should be a Dolph Lundgren.
I know, right? How great would it be if, like, as much as I love Sinbad as Myron in this movie, can you imagine it was Dolph Lundgren as the disturbed mailman?
You just want Dolph to be opposite every action star of this era.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do.
I still kick myself for underappreciating Dolph at that time.
Oh, he's so good.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm. It's game time, isn't it?
It is game time.
One?
No.
I don't even know all the Arnold movies we covered, but he obviously is number one, so I'll try.
Okay.
We did Commando.
Correct.
We did The Running Man.
Correct.
We did Last Action Hero.
That's right.
We only did the three?
That is correct.
Oh my God, thank God. All right, good, good. The others, it's a total wash. I have no idea. No Sinbad, right?
No. He hasn't done that many movies.
I know, but he did a great movie with Phil Hartman in 95 called Houseguest, which I highly recommend. Have we seen Phil Hartman in anything?
We have. He had a small role, yes.
Ooh, I don't remember.
The character he played was Ranger John.
Ranger John. I don't know.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
I don't remember him in that movie at all. I would like to forget that movie altogether.
I said it was a small role. Yeah.
What about Rita Wilson?
Nope.
Jake Lloyd?
Mm-mm.
Not Martin Mull.
No, it was Martin Mull.
It was Martin Mull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, much larger role than he had in this movie.
Oh, God. Oh, you're right. I can picture it. What is that called? Oh, God. I got nothing.
You're not cutting class.
Oh, my God. Really? That's amazing.
What do you mean, really? Yeah, he was the dad in that movie that went roaming in the swamp near the
I don't see. Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. That's amazing. I completely blanked on that one. Is that it?
There's one last one.
Small role.
Very small role. Played himself.
Jimmy B.
Yes, right.
In what though? Last Action Hero.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, so that's the game.
Nailed it.
You needed a lot of help with that one,
but yeah, I admit that. That's a, I mean,
I'm surprised by the Martin Mull, because
yeah,
I mean, Cutting Class was such a good one.
Yeah, no, it really was an amazing film. Yeah, that's egg on my face.
Speaking of amazing films,
are we talking about something else?
Let's talk about Jingle All the Way.
All right.
You did this to yourself?
No, you did this to me.
No, you did this to yourself.
No, you picked this movie.
You pick another one like Biodome and you'll see what happens.
Fine. I mean, it's not going to be next week's movie, but I will pick one.
You're getting your comeuppance. Just take it.
Fine. All right. So, I want to start this off saying that when I first saw this movie, I absolutely loved it. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think he's an amazing actor. I know a lot of people will argue that he is not, but his movies are a lot of fun. And when cast properly, he is fantastic. Is that the case for this movie? Let's find out. So again, I will say this week as well, Sandro has supplied the notes. Thank you very much for that. It has made a very stressful week a little bit more bearable.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie starts with a fake action sequence to set up the Turbo Man booster and Dementor characters, as well as their catchphrases and powers. It's just a TV advertisement that Jamie, the son of our lead, Howard, is watching before he goes to his karate class.
It's not a TV advertisement. This is the show.
Oh, it's a TV show. That's right.
The advertisement is later in the movie where you get a commercial for the toy.
What do you think about the show?
It looks really bad.
It does look really bad. It reminds me of Power Rangers.
Oh, no, yeah, it's that, much worse.
No, Power Rangers is terrible.
Maybe more like an Ultraman.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good comparison. One thing I can say, the only thing I have to say about this is that I love how Turbo Man just slaps the evil mini Power Rangers. Just slaps them. There's no punch, nothing like that. It's one quick crack to the face of one and they all collapse.
Sounds about right.
It's super campy and it sets up, I would say, the tone for the rest of the movie.
Talking about tone for the rest of the movie, tone for the rest of this episode, we had an Ultraman reference.
Yeah,
true. You know this is going to be a classic.
I think if anybody other than Arnold was cast in this role, it might be a better movie. I don't think he's a campy enough actor, at least intentionally campy, for this to work as a whole.
I think he is.
Okay. And it is, it's a favorite of many people, which
I'm not defending this. What I'm saying is he's campy enough. I don't think this is the right role for him.
Okay.
Campy or not.
Okay. All right. We're on the same page there then. Sorry, I misunderstood.
This character doesn't fit him.
No. Liz Langston, played by Rita Wilson, the amazing Rita Wilson, shows up to let us know that her husband Howard is constantly working and letting their son Jamie down. But he will be there this time. Cut to a Christmas party work office Christmas party, as it's required for all holiday movies. And Howard,
I feel like we just referenced this.
Yeah, basically.
I called it in the last episode. Every holiday movie gotta have a Christmas party.
Totally. Howard's vice is that he's a workaholic. Arnold should not play a workaholic unless he's a spy, like in True Lies.
This character should be someone that was like deployed for a long time, and that's why Jamie is hesitant to see him.
Yeah.
This guy does not fit behind this desk, figuratively or literally.
But remember, you're my number one customer.
Yeah. It's such a bad line.
I actually really like it, though. I thought it was pretty funny.
His delivery of it is great, because he can barely get the words out, but it's such a bad line.
Even, like, it's so programmed in his brain to say it, he says it to his wife when she calls. He says it to Liz.
Which is the best part of that line.
Yeah. As he leaves, because he means well, but is a workaholic, you know, he actually hits traffic, because who could have thought that would have happened?
Yeah, it wasn't an empty highway where he lied about traffic.
Yeah. Cut to the karate class, and we meet Ted, played by the amazing Phil Hartman, who seems to be very desired by all the mothers in the crowd. And they actually do a really good job, as you say here, of subtly setting him up as a creep.
Yeah, there's a lot of suggestion that their desires are met.
Yes.
Let's say it that way, I guess.
I wouldn't say that's the case here, because he actually looks uncomfortable. But it's on the rewatch where you realize he's trying to look uncomfortable because he wants to put the moves on Liz.
I don't know about trying. I think trying, maybe this is semantics, is the wrong word.
Okay.
I think he's just uncomfortable because he wants to hide it from Liz.
Mm.
Not that he's pretending to be uncomfortable, but that he's uncomfortable for a different reason.
That could be the case, but I find it really hard to believe that she wouldn't have picked up on this since they live in the same small, like, suburban neighborhood.
Well, yeah, she's not a moron.
No, she's the smartest character in the film, except for the very end, which boggles my mind.
Trying to skip to the end already?
No.
A long way to go, dude.
You think so? Howard decides that he should ride the shoulder in order to make it to the karate class in time, but is pulled over by the police. Inadvertently insulting the officer, this causes his detainment to be extended by sobriety tests. The cop's an asshole.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, but get used to him.
Yeah, I love how we keep reintroducing him, or like shoving him into scenes, shoehorning him into scenes, I guess. Because he really doesn't need to be in the rest of this movie, but it's a pretty fun callback that has given me a few laughs for this film.
Yeah, as long as you do it right, and I think in this case they did, because a lot of the situations we see him in, they're kind of justified. It's not shoehorned in there.
It feels like it at first, but eventually the payoff is so good that you don't care.
Okay.
I think that's the case for me anyway.
I'll take it.
Jamie gets his purple belt and longingly looks at the door to let us know that Howard isn't there. Well, yeah, we have to set Howard up as an embarrassing father figure.
We know he's not there. We just saw him doing the sobriety test.
It's a must-have for family Christmas comedy dramas. Well, comedy, I guess. It's the same thing in Liar Liar. It doesn't have to be Christmas. It's just anytime you have a comedy involving that absent parent and a child, we need to see that the child acknowledges the fact that their father's not around. As a viewer, we get it. They don't need to show us. It just feels like it's mandatory.
A lot of similarities to this in Liar Liar.
A lot. Cut to Howard not making it as he runs into a jump being cleaned by the janitors. Fine.
Jump.
That's what you have written.
It's a gym being cleaned by the janitors.
Yes. I was curious.
And why does he still think he would have made it?
I have no idea. There's no way he would have made it if there was no traffic.
Yeah. So if it's, say, a 7 o'clock karate class and I'm pulling in at 9 o'clock, I'm just going home. I know they're not still there.
Well, he does go home, only to find Ted on the roof setting up the Christmas lights. I really, really wanted to see Howard beat the shit out of Ted. Like, seriously beat the shit out of Ted.
It's a kid's movie. It's not going to happen.
I know, but if that was like the post-credit scene, out of context altogether, that would be funny.
Just post-credits, it cuts to him just beating crap out of him behind the house.
Yeah, or like behind the hedge, you just see Ted's feet in the air and like Howard's arm coming up over the hedge and just listening to it crack him in the face.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be funny.
Again, it's not this kind of movie.
I know. The kids wouldn't be paying attention this late into the film, but it would be a really fun joke for the parents. Liz tells Howard to explain his tardiness to Chamie. I love how that you type Chamie, C-H-A-M-I.
I sprinkled it in there multiple times.
I know. That word's trying to get me to edit it.
I'm just envisioning like Arnold getting the script. Chamie. Let's call him Todd.
Anyway, Chamie is watching a Turbo Man commercial and is pissed. And I love that you said this here, that he storms off to his den of superhero fandom. He calls a bedroom because this bedroom is, it's something else, man.
It's borderline. There's a problem there. I'm all for kids having things they like, but yeah.
This kid is well on his way to becoming a serial killer dressed as Turbo Man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Check out that sequel.
Howard attempts to joke around with Jamie, not even addressing the actual issue like a moron. But I made a note here. I had to point out that Arnold has some sick karate moves. Slightly offensive.
No, he does.
They're hilarious. It's so good.
I do like how the kid's belt barely fits around his head, though.
It barely fit around his waist. Like, I don't know. I commend Arnold on his commitment to this one scene. Because he is not a comedic actor. He just isn't. He's tried a few times, and it doesn't really work. I don't like Kindergarten Cop. I don't like that movie at all.
What about Twins?
No, not really. He does a great job at playing the dumb character, though. The unassuming dumb character.
Pretend that none of the last couple minutes happened, so I don't have to cancel this show forever.
Fine. Jamie tells Howard the obvious, that he isn't around. He's an absent father. And Howard decides that buying his love is the best idea, and that Santa gets very busy, so Jamie should tell him what he wants for Christmas.
There's so many things wrong with this conversation.
Yeah, but it's in every movie like this. It really is a paint-by-numbers film.
But it doesn't mean that it's right.
I didn't say it was right. I just said it's nothing new and that like it's to be expected like this. Jamie says the Turbo Man doll, which everyone but Howard knows because he's a moron.
Wait, Jamie likes Turbo Man?
No, never. Sorry to listeners, I'm somehow getting sick again. I believe it's Nova Scotia weather in the winter and moving and working and watching this movie has lowered my immune system. Jamie shows us that the corporate brainwashing works as he recites the commercial exactly and informs him that anyone who doesn't get Turbo Man for Christmas is a loser.
This scene really bothered me.
Why?
I know it's paint by numbers, but like, if I heard this kid reciting this commercial, I'd be like, we're going to get you something different.
Accessories sold separately. Batteries not included.
Be like, you can't watch Turbo Man anymore, dude.
I don't know, man. This has been going on long before I was a kid. I remember stuff like this a lot.
I don't need you joining some sort of Turbo Man cult, all right? Just stop.
Okay. I mean, it's basically G.I. Joe and He-Man and all that shit all over again, right? Like, it is timeless.
Yeah, if they were your, like, almighty rulers and overlords.
They are.
Oh, not mine.
All right, TMNT fan. X-Men.
Yeah, fan, not slave. Okay. There's a difference.
Sure. Wait until everyone finds out you have a giant Raphael head tattoo on your chest.
Body pillow. What? I mean...
Later, Howard tells Liz how great things went after promises of buying love, and she questions the ever-reliable Howard if he remembered to get the doll, which he lies and says he has. She asked him to get it, was it months ago or weeks ago? Weeks ago.
This is why I find it hilarious that in the conversation with Jamie, when he says that that's what he wants, this doesn't like set Howard off at that point. Like, oh, right.
No, he's an idiot. He's a complete moron.
It's like, you were acting as if you didn't know he wanted this toy, but clearly there was a conversation before where Liz told you to go buy the toy. Yeah.
Well, the next day, Christmas Eve, Howard lies and says that he left the doll at the office and takes off. But before he leaves, Jamie points out that Howard can't miss the parade that he misses every year and seems to have settled into it. I found this really dumb. Really, really dumb. He's like, we go every year, except for last year and the year before.
Yeah.
You're like, well, okay.
You can't miss it, but I guess you miss it all the time, so it's okay.
Ted is being pulled around the lawn by a reindeer as Howard heads to the car. Where do you get a reindeer?
Which I didn't write down, but I believe later they say that the deer's named Ted.
I missed that completely.
Yeah, because there's a line later when Howard calls home and asks Jamie what Liz is doing, and he says she's next door petting Ted, but he's referring to the reindeer.
Interesting. Does he say where he gets the reindeer from? Because I missed that, if that's the case.
Pet store?
Canada? They're just caribou, right? The reindeer snaps at Howard, and as he's leaving, Ted asks where he's headed. When Howard says he's getting a Turbo Man, Ted plants a seed for later, saying that he got one months ago and it is securely under his tree. Howard asks for the store's opening hours, because he's outside a toy store, because he apparently can't read the sign, which, yeah, I mean, I rip on people for that all the time.
It's right under his nose.
I know.
Just look.
It's a big nose, though. And we finally meet Sinbad's character, Myron.
Yay!
Thoughts on Myron?
I love Myron.
I love Myron, too.
I get that he is just, like, turned up to 11.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a great character.
Whatever happened to Sinbad?
He did a reality show, I think.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
I think. Yeah, I don't know. I used to watch some family sitcom that he was on back in the day.
He's great in movies. I like Sinbad always manages to make me laugh. I don't know what it is. Expressions, delivery, being properly cast, unlike most people in this movie. He's great. So Myron just starts complaining about all the work mailmen, mail carriers, I guess, have at this time of the year, and Howard wants none of it. Turtle Man. I love that you wrote that in these notes.
But that's actually what he says.
Myron says that Turtle Man is a plan by the corporate suits to brainwash kids into wanting them.
Plan that's working.
It is working, but he's right. It's Cabbage Patch Kids all over again, man. And no one seems to mind that, like, during his rant, he gets so carried away that he starts choking a woman.
Yeah, nobody reacts to this.
Nobody. Except for the woman. She's terrifying.
Can you blame her?
His crazed rant is absolutely amazing, though. And justified.
So many of his rants in this movie are phenomenal.
And I don't think anyone could do it as well as he did. It's perfect. Every rant he does in this movie is perfect. You have written here, of course the Turbo Man dolls are all sold out. And when they ask about them, the employees at the toy store laugh openly at them and even have other shoppers laughing as well.
This is terrible customer service.
It's also a terrible scene. And fun cameo by Chris Parnell. Not really a cameo. He's probably a bit actor at this point. He is incredibly annoying here.
Yep.
Probably the most annoying character in the film.
I got blamed for ruining Christmas a million times when I worked at EB Games.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody came in on, like, the last day before Christmas to try and buy a Wii or something like that. And my reaction, not once, was to openly laugh in the customer's face.
I mean, how great would that be, though?
I mean, if I owned my own store, that would have been the reaction. But these guys do not own this store.
Sidebar on this one here. Today, I work at a record store. Today, there was a customer in who was asking for directions to another location. And I told him exactly where it was. He's like, oh, is that the spot when you go past the bridge that goes over the water? I was like, don't most of them? And he looked at me so confused, didn't get the joke whatsoever. So I had to reiterate, yes, yes, that's the spot.
No, okay. Well, I'm glad we saw that.
Everybody around me, they're like covering their mouths, trying not to laugh out loud. And I look like the asshole. But anyway, moving on. More assault here as Howard grabs both employees by their collars. I guess it's supposed to be funny.
I mean, they kind of had it coming to them.
Did they, though?
They openly laughed in his face.
Yeah, but you have to understand the stress of retail employees. As annoying as they are at Christmas, you're lucky they don't stab you.
Again, I worked retail many years, selling many different things during Christmas. My reaction was never to laugh in someone's face.
But you stabbed them, right?
On a daily basis, really.
Exactly. So yeah, they're intimidated into telling Howard that the last one left with a lady who had it on layaway. Myron smacks Howard into a display of toys with his mailbag, so Howard uses a remote control car to trip him. I don't like any of this. Well, except for smacking Howard. That was pretty good.
This is exactly what you expect in this movie, though. You're kind of wondering why this didn't start earlier already.
I know. Trust me, I know. Howard finds a lady outside he thinks has the doll and offers her three times what she paid for her bag without actually looking inside, only later finding out that it was Booster. Who was this lady?
What do you mean, who was she?
The actor.
I don't know. You tell me.
Yeardley Smith. Lisa Simpson.
Yes.
I can never hear her voice and not think Lisa Simpson. It's such a weird bit role for her to be in, too.
This is a paycheck.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not. No, it's not a dig. I really enjoyed it. It was just a weird role to throw her into. But Howard throws Booster in the garbage because why would he possibly give his kid two toys?
Yeah, we don't know that he has a Booster. If he did succeed in this venture to find Turbo Man, how much cooler would he look if he had both toys?
Why does everyone hate Booster?
Why do you hate Cyclops and Leonardo? I don't know.
Booster is not Cyclops or Leonardo. Booster is like Battle Cat.
And you're telling me that if you wanted the toy and you got the Battle Cat with it, you'd be like, oh, this is awful.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. He sees the right lady drive by and runs after her in a clearly well thought out plan. Now, imagine in her attempt to get away, she rear-ends a car. You know Howard is smashing out that window and stealing the doll.
Oh, that would make such a better movie.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the movie, he's running away from, like, the mafia, because that was, like, a mafia wife or something.
Yeah. Montage of Howard going from store to store looking for Turbo Man, being laughed at and offered the other characters in the roster. In a clear sign of going unhinged, he has a fight with the Turbo Man display cutout, and he beats the shit out of that cardboard.
Good, it bounces back and gets one on him.
It's okay. True. Back home, Jamie and Ted's kid Johnny are playing in the living room while Ted hits on Liz, which is recurring throughout the film and honestly, again, something you have to expect here.
It's a little uncomfortable. He's bad at this.
Yeah. He tells her to go take a shower while he finishes the cookies she was making and he'll watch the boys. 10-1 odds there is a camera in that shower.
He was way too eager to tell her to go.
Which is weird because it's her house.
So?
He would have had to put the camera there, I guess, yeah. Ted answers the phone when Howard calls and Howard freaks out at Ted for eating the cookies.
I think this is a line that anybody who has seen this movie is well aware of.
Yeah. I mean, I'm rolling my eyes and waiting for the whole thing to end at this point. Myron bumps into Howard after he gets off the phone and suggests that they work together. It really is a weird pairing, but I'm down for it. Howard turns him down, and of course, Myron plays the race card for a moment until someone runs by yelling about a late delivery of Turbo Man dolls to Toyland, and hops in a cab or another car and drives off. As they try to make it to the store, Howard backs into the bike of the police officer from earlier, and yet, now we're getting more of this police officer who just gets more and more fucked up along the way.
I love how the one guy yells about, like, this late shipment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're so desperate for these toys,
mm-hmm.
don't announce it.
No. Like, yeah, it's just a plot point, right?
Keep it to yourself and just get there.
Myron stops long enough to mock Howard for being detained by the police because, I mean, I'd probably do the same thing. And luckily, Howard still makes it to the toy store in time. I don't know how, but they're going to be using a lottery-style draw for the small stock of toys by using colored balls.
This is a terrible idea.
It's really dumb. Really, really dumb. The employees are overwhelmed and just toss the balls, causing the crowd to go feral on each other and try and get whatever balls I can, really. Myron pepper spraying Howard is an interesting one, though. It's because Howard sicks the crowd on him. And the ball goes bouncing around the entire mall with Howard giving chase like a moron. Now, I'm okay with this part. I just don't like where it leads. I do like Myron's Rodney King reference, though. Very timely in that it happened, like, years beforehand, and that's a joke at this point. But the ball lands in a lap of a kid in a stroller who's headed for the mall playground.
Kid looks way too big to still be in a stroller, but okay.
I hate all of this. I hate Arnold chasing through, like, the playground and the play structures trying to get this one toy or this one ball. Like, he can't fit through the tunnels, keeps bumping into things.
What's comedy? This is the funny part of the movie.
It's not comedy.
It's the funny part of the movie.
There's the awkward negotiation scene in the ball pit where the kid just puts the ball in her mouth. I'm like, what are we doing, guys? What are we doing here? And then I realize I'm 41 years old watching a movie that's aimed at, like, 10-year-olds.
I find it hilarious that he picks up, like, a random ball from the ball pit. And yeah. It's like, would you like to trade? That kid could literally reach to the side and be like, here's another one.
Okay, well, the movie's fucking stupid. Let's just say that right now.
I think you have a bad attitude about this. It's getting the Christmas spirit, dude.
Well, we will get in the Christmas spirit because we have Jim Belushi as Mall Santa. And you have Man That Sad written down here, but I think he's great in this role.
I meant it's sad that he agreed to do this role.
No, he's great in this role. I think it's awesome. He wasn't really doing a whole lot. Life According to Jim, maybe?
Yeah.
His elf from Seinfeld has a picture of himself with Turbo Man with a Turbo Man doll and the current day's paper to show Howard that they are willing to sell the doll for that they have the doll and they're willing to sell it for big money.
But the doll's out of the package in the picture.
Yes, I know.
Why would you want that?
He's not going to get it anywhere else.
Well, he must be desperate, but, like,
he is desperate. We know this.
The picture should have the doll in the packaging.
They are all in a car going for a drive. Howard complains about how long it's taking to get to the destination. Sure. Because they finally pull up to a very broken down area that seems to have a hobo in a Santa hat. You can't say hobo anymore, by the way. And Beard manning the gate as they come in. I am okay with Jingle Bells as the secret knock. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, it's not just Jingle Bells. It's Jingle Bells, Batman Smells.
Well, no, that's the code. The knock is just Jingle Bells.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Apologies, sir.
They enter a warehouse full of people wearing Santa and elf costumes, and it does look something like an underground toy operation functioning like a drug cartel. And you are correct. This is a drug factory, but for toys.
This is the children's version. Why would you go anywhere with these two?
It's just a bad move. Very
It's just his desperation.
They're going to murder you and rob you. Howard finally starts to question the legitimacy of their operation, and Santa tells him that what they do is for the children and that they are not bad people, and eventually break into song. The song, I think, is the child that Santa Claus forgot.
Yes.
The elf brings out a wrapped present and says that the toy is $300, which Howard pays. And he's carrying around a lot of cash.
He's already paid that lady three times the amount for Booster, and now he's paying $300 for this.
Howard opens the present to find that the Turbo Man is not in English, and as he opens the box, it all falls apart. But it's okay, because it's fun and educational. Jim Belushi steals this from me. Howard wants the money, but they say no, and then get offended when Howard calls them cons, which leads to a fight breaking out between Howard and all the Santas, including candy cane weapons and a giant Santa played by Paul White.
They are cons, though.
They are. That's exactly what they're doing.
Like, they're so offended by it, but it's like that you just tried to sell me a foreign Turbo Man that was broken into pieces.
Howard is saved by a police raid on the operation, and he finds a bin of toy police badges, grabbing one in order to pretend to be an undercover cop and get himself out of trouble for his presence there. And it works. And this, for me, this makes sense in this kind of movie. Yes, it's dumb, but it's the right level of dumb.
I'm okay with it. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's stupid. Undeniably stupid. But
yeah,
that's part of the fun. Can't take this too seriously, man.
I know. It's just, it's not as fun as I remember it being.
It's more fun.
But I really enjoyed this scene. On his way home, Howard runs out of gas and is forced to push his car, what we can only assume is a very large distance, to a small diner. Now, I don't remember where this movie's set, but I went to a very similar diner in San Francisco. Like, it looked almost exactly the same.
I think you went to a similar diner in Minnesota where your mom was working with your hockey coach.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably where this movie was set. I forgot about that. But this one diner in San Francisco had the best cheeseburgers I've ever had outside of Stack on Yonge Street in Toronto. Back at home, Ted is handing out hot chocolate, where more of the neighborhood wives drool over him, and he makes comments that suggest he is actually taking them up on their offers, which, yeah, you can't really deny that. He's totally banging his way around the neighborhood.
All of them.
Johnny tells Jamie that his dad only became that cool when his parents divorced, and maybe that should happen to his parents for him to get better. A weird mentality that kid's broken.
What a wholesome conversation between two children.
Jamie leaves and happens to get into the house in time to answer Howard's phone call, and despite his pleas, Jamie just will not get Liz for the phone.
Yeah. This whole conversation keeps going, and in my mind I'm like, if he just listened to his dad the first time and got Liz on the phone, but nope. He just keeps going, and all he's doing is regurgitating information that us, them, everybody already knows.
Yeah. Howard crosses the line by talking down about Turbo Man, and Jamie, there you go again, loses it and hangs up. So Howard sits down at the counter and orders a coffee, only to hear Myron's voice. And I agree with you here. Somehow Howard didn't see Myron, despite the fact that he is the only other person in the diner except for the worker.
Literally the only one, and he's not far away from where Howard sits down.
They have a sort of bonding moment over booze, spiked coffee, and trade stories about the parenting successes and failures. And here I'm actually impressed by the chemistry. It's a really good scene. I'm enjoying it. Myron tells Howard about the gun he wanted as a kid, that his parents were perhaps right in not getting for him, as he is clearly not right in the head. But again, playing to how much commercials resonate with us. Like, I remember a lot of the Masters of the Universe commercials I saw as a kid. And yeah, they stick with you, man. They know how to get into kids' minds. It's crazy. So Howard's put off by the possibility that Jamie becomes a mailman in his future, absolutely having to look down at government workers with a steady job. But they hear a radio contest for a Turbo Man doll if they can name all eight of Santa's reindeer, and the truce is once again over. And I like them more as enemies than friends. I think you do too.
I actually like the back and forth.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I mean, we don't really see that often. Howard gets through on the line. But Myron yanks the cord out of the phone. The diner worker says the radio station is only a few blocks away and they head there on foot. And I do like the fact that you have written here, Sinbad is not in shape and resorts to trying to lighten his bag by tossing packages at Howard. My note is, just drop the fucking bag.
Well, no, he's got to deliver some of it.
Some of it, not all of it? Who cares? If you're not going to deliver all of it, just drop it and say you were robbed. I don't know.
Why does Christmas. He have a mailbag? I don't think he's working on Christmas Eve.
I don't know.
You're asking too many questions, dude.
Howard breaks into the radio station and somehow thinks that's how the contest works. And yeah, here we get Martin Mull. He's so good. Byron finally catches up and threatens them with a random package saying that it's a mail bomb. And then we get another amazing rant by him. And he drops the package and we find out that's just a jewelry box. Now, I have a note here saying, can you imagine that it actually was a bomb and it explodes and kills Howard? What a great twist to this movie. Nobody would see that coming.
The better twist would be if Martin Mull did have a Turbo Man in the office.
Yeah.
And the bomb blew up the Turbo Man.
I don't think that's a better twist. I think Howard dying by mail bomb for Myron is better.
That's a very, very inappropriate thought, dude.
That's pretty good. The DJ tells them the radio station doesn't have an actual doll, but a gift certificate. And the police finally arrive based on the DJ's call when they first got into the station. So it's our police officer again. They capture the two of them, and Myron attempts the same mail bomb con. He puts the package down and just leaves in the elevator. I have a major problem with this.
As soon as he put that package down, you can grab him. He's no longer got it in his possession.
Exactly. But it is a bomb. It explodes.
Yeah, you're talking about Howard dying, but this bomb explodes in the police officer's hands, and he just gets, like, singed. The cartoon, like, soot. Yeah, and singe.
The idea is hilarious. The execution is incredibly insulting.
It's too cartoony for a movie that, yes, was ridiculous, but not cartoony.
Yeah, exactly. Howard's car has been dismantled. And as he's driving home with the tow truck driver, he's getting tips on how to confess to Liz that he actually messed up. Again, paint by numbers. Howard's last straw is seeing Ted put the star on the tree, which is his tradition, and heads over to his house in order to steal his Turbo Man doll.
Oh, that's what they were leading up to.
Oh, very yeah.
Clever.
Yeah. I don't think clever is the right term.
This movie is genius.
Okay. As Ted and Liz are listening to carolers, Howard has a change of heart and decides that the toy should go back, but is interrupted by the reindeer that hates him. And this is fucking so stupid. I want none of this.
Who enjoys carolers that much?
Nobody.
No one.
It's like people going door to door begging. That sounds harsh, but that's what it is.
I'm not even saying people don't enjoy carolers, but like Ted is enamored with them.
He's a ridiculous character. He's completely unrealistic in a movie that's even more unrealistic, so I don't even know. I'm accepting things at this point. In the ensuing chase, decorations getting knocked over, which ultimately catch fire, and Howard kicks through the window towards the singers. Ted and Liz come in to catch Howard in the act of stealing the Turbo Man doll, which he denies. It's an awkward one, but again, we know exactly where this movie's going now.
She's going to leave him and end up with Ted.
100%. Liz has had enough of Howard's excuses and asks Ted to take them to the parade instead. And the reindeer makes a reappearance and Arnold knocks the Christmas spirit right out of it. I have a note here just saying that it's very much a throwback to Conan punching the camel.
Which he does in both movies.
Yeah. Howard's drinking his sorrows away with the reindeer and sees the drawing Jamie made of him and Liz in the clubhouse. It's now a full-on family film. It feels like it was trying to like straddle a line between kids film and adult film, kind of like Shrek had some really good adult jokes, but it was a kids movie. And now we're going full-on, like, this is just a kids family film.
This is a kids family film from the start, dude.
Debatable. I mean, mail bombs.
Yeah.
Adultery.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gotta learn eventually.
We see the parade in full effect, and two news commentators who no one cares about agreed. The kids ask to go stand with some friends while the parents are told to go park the car. And the next shot of the kids, they are not standing with any friends. I mean, it's a weird scene made only weirder by when they're like, Cat in the Hat, and give a high five. Who the fuck cares? Who cares about the Cat in the Hat?
Dude, you're heartless.
What, you like Cat in the Hat?
Who doesn't love Cat in the Hat?
Me.
You're heartless.
No, it's a boring, dumb character. The cab Howard is in is stuck in traffic with a cabbie who is way too excited for Turbo Man being at the parade. Accurate.
I hear Turbo Man's going to be there. Why do you care, old man? I could see you saying that if there was a child in the cab with the parent. You know, you're trying to be nice to the kid. Oh, I hear Turbo Man's going to be there. It's like, yeah. Why would Howard care?
Yeah. Howard gets out to go on foot. Honestly, probably should have done that in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Ted parks and makes very uncomfortable advances at Liz. Howard spots them with murder eyes, but of course bumps into the reoccurring police officer. I honestly, at this point now, every time I see this cop, I'm like, okay, maybe we'll get something funny.
He recovered pretty well from that bomb.
He really did. You just need to wash your hair. You're fine. Liz stands up for herself by hitting Ted with a thermos of eggnog. Fleeing from the police officer, Howard finds himself ducking into a parade staging building, where the workers there mistake him for someone else and start suiting him up while throwing cautionary instructions at him and discussing the accident that led to him filling in, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because they're just flying through what happened. Like, don't do this, don't do this, this is what happened, don't do this, you're good to go, let's go.
There's even one, I can't remember, where he's like, we think that's all worked out. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, but it's great. Just that lack of assurance.
The actor who does this very small role does a great job with the delivery on this.
Probably the best in the film, I would say. Other than Myron's rants.
Okay.
I would say so. So we get a POV perspective where we see that Booger is playing Booster, and I didn't know who Booger was, so I had to look it up, and I realized I haven't seen Revenge of the Nerds in a long time.
That hurts, dude.
Sorry, I'll have to revisit it soon. You have next. What a surprise! He's being dressed up as Turbo Man! Yeah.
Why even try to make this a secret?
I don't know. The commentators say that the Turbo Man will momentarily pick a kid from the audience to give a special edition Turbo Man doll to.
The special edition of it is that it's not in the package.
Yeah. Problems, man. Like, Howard in this movie forgets the name of the character, but knows all of his gestures.
Well, they gave him a bit of a rundown and...
Yeah, okay.
Woke up some sleeper memories and...
I love your next note.
Okay.
Someone, no idea who it could be, abducts the person dressed as Dementor.
No, who could it be?
I don't know. Turbo Man selects Jamie to get the doll, but of course, it does go as planned when Myron swoops in and threatens Jamie to give him the doll.
It was Myron! Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was almost as good of a secret as Arnold being dressed up as Turbo Man.
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious if Jamie didn't make it to the parade. Pick a kid to give this toy to. Where's Todd? I mean, Jamie.
When Jamie says, how do you know it was me? And Howard's like, well, you see, Jamie, and he gets cut off from finishing, I'm your father. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is Anakin taking notes. Because that's when we see him. Myron knocks out Booster, and the kids, filled with Christmas cheer, surround him and beat him up even more.
Again, not liking Booster, but
yeah.
Literally running into the crowd of a parade to just lay the boots to him,
yeah,
seems a little inappropriate.
No way. Myron knocks Howard out with a fist that makes no sense in real life and grabs Jamie. Yeah, I didn't like this weird projecting chain fist thing.
So is his hand in it?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's just, this movie was really making me angry, dude. Same thing here. You have, why does Turbo Man have functional weapons for a parade? I don't know.
Does that not seem like a bad idea? Like, I get that there's, you know, potential accidents.
Yeah.
They warned him about them. But you know how you don't have those accidents? Don't put that in there.
Well, it's also weird that all of these weird weapons exist in this world, but the most effective is Jamie kicking Myron in the dick.
I think anybody knows that in any world that is an effective strategy. Let's see what the problem is here.
Yeah, fair enough. Myron makes chase after Jamie as Howard is temporarily delayed.
But they're Power Rangers, right? Like, they're little Power
Rangers. Yeah, you have putty wannabes. I didn't get that reference because, you know, I'm an adult.
You weren't when Power Rangers was on.
I was too old to watch Power Rangers.
These things really do look like the amalgamation of Power Rangers crossed with putty.
Okay, I still don't get it. I guess they're like the Foot Clan or something?
Putties are the, like, fodder enemies in Power Rangers.
Howard bowling pins the lackeys while Jamie's only plan is to keep climbing up. I get that. Why does a parade Turbo Man have actual functioning rocket boosters on his back? It goes back to the weapons, Sandro. None of this makes sense.
You could say, like, okay, the weapons are just like, oh, some plastic parts and a springboard, whatever. But, like, it's a fully functioning rocket.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all they can say is, yeah. Of course, Howard goes out of control entirely because he can't manage the rockets. And they shut off so that he has his weird Looney Tunes moment suspended in the air before free falling.
Well, because you have to look right into his face as he realizes he's going to fall and does the screaming, ah!
Like, yeah, well, it's a cartoon now, man.
It fully is.
Yeah. After a couple of minutes, he is an expert and heads towards Jamie and Myron.
Who would have thought? All it took was free-falling to learn how to function the thing perfectly.
Don't. Just don't. Don't get me started.
It's so good. It's Arnold. He's an action superstar.
It's not, yes, I know. He's not a comedian. It does not work. Hijinks ensue as he spins around a banner, sets a tree on fire, flies through a family's dining room. The weight of Jamie and Myron causes the Christmas tree display to fall over and leave the two of them hanging on for dear life. Because, yeah, we need that suspense in this movie.
This is where the action part of the action comedy comes in.
This is a struggle. Turbo Man uses his boomerang, which manages to swing around and hit Myron right after he grabs the doll out of Jamie's back.
That's perfect timing.
It is perfect timing. Well done. Howard catches Jamie as he is free-falling because he lost his grip. Of course, you have to have that peril, or that threat of peril.
I, for one, didn't know if he was going to make it.
I assumed he was going to die.
That would have been an interesting ending to the movie. Jamie just falls to his death.
Well, I mean, imagine if, like, Howard already died from the mail bomb, Jamie just would have died too. That'd be great. I'm in for that fucking movie. Give me that movie instead of this one.
Jamie free falls and then Howard's just like, I guess I don't need to get the doll now.
Yeah, well,
dun, 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 dun.
Well, Jamie free falls, but Howard doesn't have a head at this point because it was blown off by the mail bomb earlier. After being delivered back to Liz, Jamie laments that Howard was not able to be there to see everything and that it's his fault because they got into a fight. My problem is that Liz doesn't recognize her husband's face. There are obviously bigger issues at play here.
I don't know Arnold as well as someone that would say be married to him, but you're not missing that jawline.
No. Yeah. He has a red orange visor over his eyes. Other than that, you can see his entire face.
Yeah, but it's a red orange visor.
He has an Austrian accent.
But it's a red orange visor.
You're right. I'm looking too deep into this. The policeman gives the doll back to Jamie, which he gives to Myron for his son, because he doesn't need the doll anymore. He has the real-life Turbo Man at home. Idiot kid, sell that shit online. Howard gets his moment to put the star on the tree, and the movie ends with Liz asking if he went through all the trouble to get Jamie that Turbo Man after he went through all the trouble. What did he get for her? And then we get that snap zoom of like, oh my God, I forgot to get my wife a present. And the movie's over.
Yay! That was a good one.
It was a movie.
So good.
You want to talk budget?
Yeah, I do.
How much did this cost?
$40 million.
Somewhere between $60 and $75 million.
That's a lot.
I'm assuming maybe 50 of it went to Arnold.
Well, you also had to build a rocket booster.
That's so true. Yeah. Not those amazing CG flames. How much did this movie make?
$600 million.
What? 129.8.
Oh, that's it?
Yep. I mean, that's twice the budget, really. A little bit more than.
I guess they failed.
Speaking of failure, I was very surprised at the ratings. How much do you think this is rated on IMDb?
4.2.
5.7.
Okay.
It doesn't get better.
Okay.
On Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter, percentage of positive reviews.
27?
20.
Okay.
Audience score?
15.
Double that, 30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's, everyone seems to love this movie except for everyone, which I it's weird. You talk to anybody about this movie, like, oh yeah, it's great. And then you look at the reviews and it's just pan.
Those statements don't make sense.
So now I'm curious getting into awards.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
All right. Who was your least favorite character?
Arnold Schwarzenegger as Howard Langston.
Okay, why?
He was annoying, inept in all the wrong ways. I know he was supposed to be that bumbling character, but like you said earlier, like comparing this to Liar Liar, Jim Carrey did it right and Arnold just failed. So I guess it's more performance than character, but we go back and forth on that. Who is yours?
Womanizing Ned Flanders.
Phil Hartman.
Ted. Yeah, Phil yeah. Hartman is amazing, but that's also partly why you hate Ted, is because Phil Hartman does such a good job. He's such a sleazeball.
I think we have the same favorite character.
It's Myron.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He's so good. And you know what? When I was younger, I did not like Myron. Watching it back now, I'm like, he might be the best character in this movie.
He's the best part of the film, for sure.
Yeah.
Memorable line? I didn't transcribe it because there's multiple and they're competing with each other. Like, I can't pick a favorite. It's Myron's rants. The rants are just so good. Like, once he starts, you just want him to keep going. So, yeah, it's kind of a cop-out choice, but I'm going to stick with it. What about you?
So, when when Howard sees Jim Belushi as Santa,
mm-hmm.
Jim Belushi's like, hey, buddy, come here. You want a Turbo Man for Christmas? And in one of maybe the most, like, subdued lines in the movie that doesn't get that much attention, Arnold's just like, forget it. I'm not going to sit in your lap.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but like, it's such an unnoticeable line. There's so many others where it's like they wave a flag and they're like, here's the punchline, and this one is just so subtle. Yeah. And it might be one of the best ones.
I think I might have to change my pick and go with you on that. It is very, very good.
Yeah. The one that I was also considering was when Myron was running away from the bomb,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, oh, they're really was a bomb in there. People are sick these days.
Yeah. He's just a great character.
Oh, yeah, because he's like, I was threatening people with a mail bomb the whole time, but even I didn't believe it to the point that I was surprised and disgusted when it was revealed to be the case.
What did you have for a memorable scene?
I went with the fight scene against all the Santas. It's just absurdity 211, and it's a lot of fun. I think it's more what this movie should have been from the start.
Yeah. If you're going slapstick screwball comedy at random points, do that for the entire film, because if you don't, it just feels like a jumbled mess.
And they stand out a lot more when it's not the entire movie, and it is just these random spikes of ridiculousness.
Exactly.
Final thoughts?
I don't like this movie.
I couldn't tell.
If you haven't seen it, 100% watch it. I don't know if it's an age thing, because when I saw this, when it came out, I was 14 and I thought it was hilarious. Watching it now, I don't care. It was a slog. It was a real slog to get through. I mean, I did laugh at points. Like, I really enjoyed Jim Belushi. Sinbad was amazing. But those aren't the characters you're supposed to appreciate in this. I found a lot of the jokes fell flat. Some of the adult humor was pretty good. The fact that it was co-produced by Chris Columbus, who's one of my favorites, like, I appreciated that. And I could see some of his humor, some of his, like, it's obviously got some of his influence, I should say. But as a whole, I don't really like this movie, and I don't care to watch it again. So yeah, if you haven't seen it, check it out. If you have and you're thinking about the nostalgia, just appreciate the memories and don't go back to it. You?
This is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a terrible movie, but it's great in its terribleness.
Yeah.
Like, this is absolutely the movie you think it is. For anybody who goes into it thinking that it's going to be something different, that, like, that's on you. Because this movie is Arnold, an 80s action star, trying to do a family Christmas movie. And it's on you if you actually expected something different than what you got here. This movie is so much stupid. I mean, it's not for repeat viewings by any means. But like you said, if you haven't watched it, just put it on once and just turn your brain off.
Yeah, that's fine. Interesting. I thought we would have differentiating opinions or differing opinions on this movie. I didn't expect them to be as different. I kind of thought you set yourself up for disappointment, but apparently not the case.
I mean, it's better than Biodome.
It is not.
And I actually enjoyed it a lot more than the Santa Claus last week.
No comment.
Hey, you don't have to agree, but at least I had some stupid fun with this one.
That's good. I'm glad you did. It is a movie that we definitely should have covered earlier. I'm glad we're doing it now. I'm very surprised at my take on this rewatch.
So those are our thoughts on Jingle All the Way. I know this was a bit of a shorter episode, but it is the busy holiday season, and we wanted to make sure we got one out there. So if you guys want to get us a gift, like, subscribe, comment, help us out with that algorithm. You can catch us on social media. We are on Twitter at BS Bargain Bin. I am still calling it Twitter. Facebook.com/@BS Bargain Bin, BSBargainBin.com, and YouTube.com/@BS Bargain Bin. Ben.
Yes.
We're not taking a week off for the holidays.
Nope.
So next week might be another shorter episode, but that's because we're committed to our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
What movie are we covering?
Well, it's a weird one because we're sandwiched in between Christmas and New Year's Eve. It is regarded by some as a Christmas film. Debatable, but I will agree with them on that. So next week, we will be covering 1984's Gremlins.
Steven Spielberg presents Gremlins. Billy Pelser has a nice home.
Billy, is that you?
Yeah, Mom, it's me.
A nice job. A nice girl.
If you're not doing anything this Thursday night, maybe you'd like to go out on a date with me?
I'd love to.
And loving parents who are about to give him...
You're gonna like this. No, don't shake it. We're going to have to open it now. Won't wait till Christmas.
The most unusual gift he ever got.
What is it?
No.
It's your new pet.
Come on, Barney, be a good dog. My dad gave it to me.
But there are a few things to keep in mind. If you expose it to the light, you may hurt it. If you get it wet, it will multiply.
All that from water? They got wet?
Yeah, plain water.
And most important, no matter how much they beg, never, never let them eat after midnight, because when they do, they change. They become clever, mischievous.
What's going on here?
And dangerous.
Gremlins, huh? Little monsters.
Right.
Hundreds of them.
Well, I don't know, maybe thousands.
They've been here too. They've been here.
Billy, what are these things? Where do they come from?
Look, I know it sounds crazy, I know. But in a few hours, you're gonna have a major disaster on your hands.
Gremlins, directed by Joe Dante. They'll be expecting you.
Until next week, have a good one.
Merry Christmas.